Today's listener essay is by Kathy Curto.
When I was a kid, I used to think that Frank Sinatra lived inside my father's car stereo, deep in the belly of the tape deck, in my mother's Humperdinck. Her penchant for shiny tank-sized exteriors and cozy, lazy boy-like interiors matched the trends of the time. Frosted white eyeshadow, camel-colored wool capes, and The Godfather. As for my three-pack-a-day father, despite the thin, cloudy layer of nicotine residue that blanketed the windshield of every car he owned through the years, he believed his Lincolns and Cadillacs to be classy and sharp. And being classy and sharp were very good things to be. As a teenager, I developed different notions about cars and good things to be. In fantasies, I saw myself. Salty wind blowing through my ponytail. I saw myself some more, switching the gear shifter in my dented Volkswagen Bug, cruising along the beach road in Seaside Park, singing about being born to run. So, at the dinner table one unusually easy summer night, 1984, I let my different notions slip out. "Dad, I want to save up for an old Bug." "Forget it," he said, without looking up, and went back to buttering his bread, gulping his root beer, and reading the Asbury Park Press. This was a bold, bold move on my part, and even I wasn't sure from where this boldness was bubbling up. Initiating conversation with him was just not done, especially at the dinner table. By opening my trap, I risked ruining a perfectly rare, nonviolent, semi-tranquil summer night in our home. But I persisted. "I want to drive it to the beach, play Bruce, and put bumper stickers on the back," I blurted. That got me a look, a long, hard look. To my father, bumper stickers were taboo and akin to graffiti. Definitely not classy and sharp. "Forget it," he said again. Then it was my mother's turn to look my way, and she offered one of her very best, one of the classics. She gave me her "Don't you dare make him turn this dinner into poison" look. And then she winked at me and mouthed the words, "Drop it." My parents owned a gas station and a car wash. I worked for them after school and during the summer months, pumping gas, doing bookkeeping, driving customers home. This meant that cars, all kinds of cars, broken ones, repaired ones, clean ones, dirty ones, they encircled my youth. "You are what you drive." That's the message I got, even if no one ever pointed their finger in my face and yelled it. The pointing and yelling did occur around other critical family matters, though. Things like undercooked lasagna, asking too many questions about the world, and using big shot words. Big shot words meant one was trying to be a smart aleck, for which my father had no tolerance. So, on that hot summer night in 1984, I did what they asked me to do with my little Volkswagen fantasy about the beat-up car, the bumper stickers, the ponytail, and running away. I dropped it and tried to forget. And my father went on smoking his cigarette, chewing his food, drinking his root beer, and reading his newspaper, like always. Some nights I sat at that table, moved my macaroni around on the plate from one side to the other, and watched the corners of the newspaper get closer and closer to his ashtray, wondering if the night would come when the whole table would go up in flames. 19 years after that bold move, I am dozing on my father's couch. He's in his recliner, which is right next to the couch. I hear the gurgling and quiet gasps for air. He sleeps in the chair now because it's easier that way for him to breathe and cough. I drove down last night and told my sisters and my brother I would do the evening shift, since they had logged in so many more hours caring for him than I had. I am feeling guilty. On good days, my decision to stay in New York after college and graduate school, to build a life there and maintain what I like to think of as a healthy distance from my hometown, it felt right. And I never missed a summer on the shore. I never stopped going home. But on bad days, it hurt, and the hurt led to the guilt. And the guilt led to way too much thinking about all the finger-pointing and yelling of the past. I sit up and feel panic first, then a wave of calm. I think of my mother, who passed away in 1998, suddenly, shockingly, without warning. I remember her habit of rubbing my forehead and brushing the hair back away from my eyes when pain was imminent, her way of clearing the view for me, of offering clarity and strength in the face of pain, whether it was a skinned knee or an empty bank account or having to accept a father who dealt with his fear of losing me by pushing me away. So I wipe my father's forehead with my clammy palm. He is both hot and cold. He coughs a little, opens his eyes, and looks into mine. A lifetime of apologies is exchanged, and our wet faces tell one another, apology accepted. No more big shot words, no more tries at long conversations. I take his hand and tell him what's done is done.
Kathy Curto is a published writer living in Cold Spring with her husband, their four children, and one big dog. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.